Welcome to the Go All In podcast. I'm your host, Robert Bruss. And today on the show, we have Amanda Jane Clarkson from Millionaires Magazine. Amanda's been a lifelong entrepreneur and business owner, and she's got one hell of a story to share with us today. So let's get started. Well, good day, everyone. I trust that you're well and your family and your business are doing well in these strange COVID times that we all find ourselves in. Here in Sydney, everything seems to be on track and pretty much back to normal, which is good news. I can't say the same for the folks down in Victoria, but I'm certain that just in a couple more weeks, things will start to return to normal for them down there as well. And we're thinking of you down south of the border. Now, if you haven't already checked out the brand new Go All In website, I encourage you to pop on over to goallin.com.au and take a look at our brand new hub for startups and entrepreneurs. We've got some great free training and giveaways there, and there's a whole bunch of new products that have been added recently. So pop on over to goallin.com.au to find out more. Now, if this is your first time here at the podcast, welcome. It's great to have you here. This podcast is for you if you're just starting out in business, considering a business, or you've been a seasoned entrepreneur for years. My guests and I will give you the strategies and the tactics that you need to help you to close the gap from where you are to where you want to be faster than you ever thought possible. To get there, you're going to have to work hard, learn new things, but most of all, you're going to have to go all in. And I created and I do this show because there's nothing more that I like than eliminating roadblocks and shortcutting the path to success. In fact, I can't wait to celebrate your success with you. So make sure you reach out to me via social media or email and share a win with me. Before we get into the show today, just take a little peek at your phone and hit the subscribe button on the app that you're listening in on. And if you're watching this on YouTube, just scroll on down and hit the subscribe button there. And don't forget to ring the bell. That way you'll always have some motivation and some Go All In love right there in your pocket. Lastly, if you like what you hear today, please share this episode with your friends and your family. Amanda's got an important message to share and she's got a pretty epic story as well. And if we can help just one or two people to break through their barriers and to get unstuck, then Amanda and I would have done our job here on the podcast today. Alrighty, let's get into today's show. As I mentioned at the top of the show, Amanda has been a lifelong entrepreneur. In fact, she left school at just 16 years of age to get after her dreams. Early on, Amanda had more than 33 different jobs. Can you believe that? Before she discovered business in her early 20s. And since then, she's built out more than 14 different businesses. Some have worked really well, incredibly well, in fact, and some have become really successful, and others have been total failures as well. As you would expect, along the journey of business and in life, Amanda's had her fair share of cuts and bruises, and on more than one occasion, she's had to fully commit and go all in. Otherwise, it would have been all over for her in business. Amanda is a highly sought after speaker and author, and she's also a fellow podcaster, and she shared the stage with people like Tony Robbins, John Howard, and even Donald Trump. I'm excited she's here, so please help me in welcoming Amanda Jane Clarkson. Amanda Jane Clarkson, I can't introduce you to the Go All In podcast without saying, g'day gorgeous, how are you?
Oh, g'day, gorgeous. It's so awesome to be here.
It's great to have you here. I love your introduction and the way that you say that. It's so Australian and it's so fitting for you and your personality. It's really cool. I'm really looking forward to getting into the show today and learning some more about you and how you help your clients and what you've got to offer. But before we do any of that, let's get to know you a little bit. Why don't you share with the audience where you're from and how you got into what it is that you're doing today?
Fantastic. Well, I'm on the Gold Coast in Queensland, although I grew up in a small island called Tasmania. And, you know, I just grew up in a very average family, one of five children, the middle of five children, but always had this deep desire, this dream of being free to live my life how I wanted to instead of what other people wanted me to, including my parents and teachers and peers. You know that life of conformity, Rob, where you just go along with the flow. Mm. And as a young kid, I was told that if I wanted anything, I had to get out, work hard, get my own money because, you know, nothing was going to come to me for free. And so, you know, I did so many odd jobs. I would have probably 10 different jobs around the neighbourhood, from cooking to cleaning to fruit picking to babysitting, spinning wool, you name it, I did it. I even had my own little sweet shop. Just anything to make money, because I was saving up to move out of home as soon as I could.
I'm getting the hell out of there.
I'm out of here, baby. And I left home and school at the age of 16.
Oh, wow.
I was done. And I was not, I just had this thing in me that I wasn't going to be told how to live my life, because my parents were get a job, as everybody hears, get a good job, get married, have some babies, and, you know, have the husband look after you and then retire. And that to me, the thought of it made me feel sick, because I've always loved the idea of having my own business, having freedom, and that wasn't kind of fitting my idea of life. And so I left home. I had 33 jobs from there, and I hated all of them, Rob. I hated every job. Well, I shouldn't say hate, that's a pretty strong word, but I just wasn't built to have jobs. And I would actually switch jobs every 3 to 6 months, right up until I was in my 20s. And then I got into business, and from there, 14 different businesses.
Oh, wow.
To date, I know. I'm not even 70 yet. I'm still going.
Well, there's another 20 in you yet. Come on.
Oh, gorgeous.
Let's get started.
Here I am, and, you know, the work that I do now, I think my soul's work, what I'm here for is to, I always knew, I learned along the way that to get what you want in life, you just got to help enough other people get what they want. And this is what makes my heart sing, you know, mentoring and helping other people and elevating women, especially because we just have this thing about not feeling worthy or trying to fit in, or, you know, be and live the expectations of other people and social, you know, social expectations. And I'm here to tell you that you don't need to. You don't have to live like that.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a little common thread there between you and I, right at the very start of your story there. I left home when I was 17, but I left and I went to the military. I kind of grew up in the military, if you like. I became a man there. I had the masculine blokey blokes around me to kind of do all of that, which was kind of cool because I had really good mentors around me. I had good role models around me, some not so good, many alcoholics and many party animals. But that was fun, right? Being a sailor and traveling the world was fun. And, you know, shortly after that, I was in the army and same sort of thing. But I left home and I look back at it now. I reflect back on that when I was 17 and I left. And when you join the military, you go off to recruit school. And at the time, I went off to HMAS Cerberus down in Melbourne. And I'm from Sydney. And you're down at Cerberus for like 3 months, 4 months, actually. And then I was off to HMAS Watson for another 3 months. And then I was deployed straight away. I joined a ship straight away and I was off to Southeast Asia. And my parents must have been like, oh my God, because my kids now, my son is about to turn 18. I've got another son who's 19 and my daughter's like about to turn 14. And I look and I think, man, if my 18-year-old son picked up and said he was going to the military now, I'd be like, oh, is that all I got? It just went by so quickly and I was off living my life. Did you leave Tasmania when you left home, or were you still in Tasmania?
Well, you know, the growing up in the 60s is a lot different than growing up now, darling. I can assure you of that. I remember I used to threaten Mum every day that I was going to leave home and she'd say, you go and you're never coming back. And so I said, righto, you watch, woman. So it's a little different, right? But what happened was my parents used to come to the Gold Coast in Queensland every year for a summer vacation. And I remember I was about 24, maybe no, probably about 22. They came home from a vacation and said, your father and I have made a decision. We're taking your younger brother and we're leaving you kids and we're moving to Queensland. You do what you want. Excellent. So I was very young, as you know, and I thought, well, I'm just going to do my own thing for a couple more years. But over the next 3 years, the rest of us kids followed Mum and Dad up to the Gold Coast, Queensland, and the whole family, the seven of us, live here now within a few kilometres of each other. But I imagine if I had a daughter or a son telling me I'm leaving home at 16, it would feel quite different today than it did, because I live by myself.
Yep.
You know, and things have really changed. I don't think kids are leaving home till they're close to my age anymore. You've got a few more years yet.
I got a while longer. Well, my 19-year-old, he moved out. So that's kind of cool.
Back. He'll be back.
Yeah. He won't be back. No, he doesn't know where I live.
Oh, okay. I'm sure he'll be okay with a dad like you.
No, it's all good in that sense. Did you find your feet quickly when you decided to leave school? Just in those jobs, in those various jobs? Like, or was it just, were you just experiencing the contrast of the world? Like, I mean, gosh, going from job to job to job every 3 or 4 months is tiring and it's stressful. And you just couldn't find what it is that lit you up, that made you bounce out of bed in the morning?
You're back in those days again, you know, and I feel that a lot of women will relate to this and a lot of guys, but we didn't have the guidance. My parents, you know, they come out of the war years, the depression years, and, you know, the thought process that they have back then. No personal empowerment, no clue, all the gear and no idea, I had. And to be honest, and this is where I know a lot of people will relate, I kind of had a lot of pent up anger.
Oh.
Anger that I wasn't understood, I wasn't listened to, I wasn't heard, I didn't feel seen. But that anger was a result of maybe a lack of communication. Mum and dad, you know, they had businesses. Mum had a couple of businesses, and growing up, Mum used to bring home welfare children that, you know, weren't so well taken care of. And from 11 years of age, it was my job to parent them, which I don't resent. I'm very grateful for. So I sort of had children, and she had a little preschool, a kindergarten as well that I used to work at. So I've sort of been in that work mode my whole life, but I still had anger. And so I would go to job. I was running from job to job, probably running away from myself if I was really honest and thought about it, trying to discover who I was, what I'm here to do. But I did have a mother that used to say to me, because I say, I hate my job. She'd go, don't whinge to me, Amanda. And back in those days, we'd get a slap. If you don't like it, quit. That was the greatest lesson I got, I think, from her. That was the extent of the personal development. And so for me to quit a job constantly, I didn't find myself, Rob, till I was in my 30s, to be honest. I actually didn't grow up. I was, you know, I discovered personal development when I was studying to be a personal trainer in my very early 30s, and then my whole world changed.
I can relate to that. Pretty closely, actually, when I left the military, and I was 28 and a half, almost 29 when I left the military. And, you know, you go out into this big wide world after being institutionalized for 10 or so years. And it's really like, well, what's this all about? And I left too soon as well. So my transition out of that job back into being a civilian after having a great job, having all the responsibility of that. And it was fun. I loved it. I loved my mates. I loved all of those things, but it's kind of time to move on. So I thought, but the time to move on was a little bit sooner than what I anticipated. And as a result of that, it took me probably 4 or 5 years to transition properly and to find myself. And really only now, like sort of in my early 40s, that I really sort of have discovered who it is that I am, where I don't define myself by what it is that I do for a living or who I hang out with. And I've really kind of found myself personally as an individual as well. Is that what you mean by finding yourself as well?
Yeah, exactly what you're saying. And I was just listening carefully to what you were saying, and it sort of gelled with me that guys go through, I guess, what women go through, finding yourself, finding your space in the world and going, what's my purpose? And so many people get crazy and screwed up about purpose. And I just think it's just what your heart's calling is, what you love to do the most. What are your gifts and, you know, the gifts and the talents that we each have? And it feels like you went through the same thing, because I can imagine coming out of the army and everything, it took a little while to adjust back into normal life, right? Not having regimented, here's what to do, when to do it on the moment, which I think is fantastic training, by the way.
I went from the military into my own business straight away. And within 3 months, we'd employed like 30 staff. And my job was like the ops person. And I would I would, so there's me and two other mates that were doing that. And so Paul was in the office kind of working the sales team, and my other mate Shane, he was with me, but he was kind of, he didn't want to run it. So I had to kind of lead it. But we would turn up to these jobs at 6 o'clock in the morning and there'd be 30 people there. And I didn't know how else to do it. I just get 30 people on parade and tick off the roll, same as what I did when I was in the infantry. I'd tick off the roll and who's here, who's here, who's not. And I can remember thinking one morning, I just can't believe these people turn up to work. And like, there's no stick.
Scared not to love.
Yeah. Well, there's no stick waving them over, you know, like the military is like, you've got to be there. Otherwise you're going to get put in jail and, you know, they're threatening you, you know, you think it's discipline, but they're ruling with a stick. It's a carrot and stick approach, not discipline. And, you know, as a civilian, I really had to kind of transition out of that mentality. And I held on to that purposely because it worked for me and it was very effective in managing people as well. But over a period of time, I sort of realized that I didn't have to do that anymore. And it's like, well, if you're not going to do it that way anymore, how else are you going to do it? Well, I don't really know. And then the whole world opens up to you when you start exploring other ways to do things and other ways to make things happen for yourself like that. And it's a good place to be. It's a nice place to be. Although transitions can be a little bit painful. And I experienced that. Did you have some ups and downs there once you started to discover personal development?
I've had so many ups and downs. We could sit here for 2 days talking about them. Like, you know, people talk about success, what that looks like for each individual. But the pathway to living or fulfilling our purpose is full of ups and downs. It's like a roller coaster, as Darren Hardy talks about in his book, The Entrepreneurial Roller Coaster. That's my life, you know. But the thing is this, and I think Cardone talks about it, it is so much harder to live a life of quiet desperation, being broke, mentally, emotionally, financially, and physically than it is to pursue your heart's dreams. And this is why I'm so passionate, I guess, on sharing my story, because it is so worth it. I've had so many painful falls, but I've always found the courage to get back up, Rob, because the dream was that strong. The purpose was there. I could see it. And I would ask myself, Manda, do you want to live a pathetic life and go to the end of your days wondering what could have been, or get your big girl courage pants on and keep going forward? Because somebody's already done it before me, right? If you find the right mentors, just got to follow the right trails, I can have that life that I've dreamt of since I was a young kid. That's what I would say. I don't think anybody gets out of it unscathed, Rob. Let's be real.
This is true. This is true. All right, Amanda, thank you so much for giving us a little bit of background there and sharing your story with us as well. People come on over to the Go All In podcast to learn more about others that have gone all in. So if you could you please share with us your biggest Go All In story or stories, and the lessons that you've learned from your commitment to success?
Well, there's many of them, but there's one that I do love to share, because it was a moment in my life where I could have gone either way, you know, the fork in the road moment. And everybody remembers the GFC, the global financial crisis, back in 2008. Over many, many years, my husband and I had done renovating properties, working. We literally worked 7 days a week for 7 years straight, just trying to get ahead, you know, working and just toiling as most people do, trying this, that, and the other. But we were renovating properties. We'd live in them, literally cooking toast off the toilet system and, you know, things like that, when you just have nothing much, but you're trying to get ahead. And over 7 years, we'd saved up some money and invested it into some land, North Queensland. And that land was valued at $1 million, and it was kind of like our nest egg. And you know sometimes how the universe humbles you and you think you've made it and you think, oh, you know, I'm feeling really good about myself and I've got a nest egg and that's going to be our retirement, you know, $1 million of right. Can you imagine retiring on that in these days?
How are you going to live on that, for heaven's sake?
Yeah. But back then, you know, we thought we'd made it. And for us it was everything, because that was 7 years of work, invested what I thought was intelligently. And I remember that morning we got a phone call, but we were in the car on our way to the airport to fly to Sydney to speak at a wealth creation seminar. So for 15 years we've been speakers, international speakers for wealth creation seminars and business seminars, and we're on our way to the airport. And we got the phone call and that we had lost everything in the GFC. We had lost that $1 million overnight gone because of all the banks called the loans from the developer and all this.
Oh, I see.
That we had no control over.
You just got caught in the crossfire of the collapse.
We got caught in the crossfire.
Yeah.
And lost the whole lot. And here we are on the way to the airport to speak at a wealth creation seminar. And I remember we pulled over onto the side of the road and we sat there. We're literally in shock. I don't know if you know what that feels like or anyone listening to this. You know, that was a lot of money for us. It is a lot of money, you know.
It is a lot of money, yeah.
And we looked at each other and obviously, you know, I was quite upset. And Matt said to me, he goes, what do you want to do? And I was feeling quite sick, as you can imagine. And I just sat there for maybe a minute and I said, you know what? We have to show people that in times of adversity, and there's going to be so many as an entrepreneur, you have to find the courage and dig deep and ask yourself, what will I do in this time? Will I go back and retreat? You don't understand this being a military guy, or do I go in blazing forward and just know that things will end up working out? And I said, let's get on that plane. Let's go to Sydney. Let's do our seminar and give the people what we have turned up to give them, hope. So we did that. And as a result of that, our life took a different turn that we never saw coming, never. And our speaking and our business and everything just exploded in a good way, took off. We've never looked back. And we now see that as one of the biggest blessings of our life. But it was an go in, go hard or go home, as they say. But I'm so glad that I dug deep enough, and we both did, and just said, we have to show up for the people.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a decision, isn't it? And it's, you know, I can't help but poke a little bit of fun and say, bloody damn renovations. It's such hard work, isn't it?
Not good for the nails, darling. I swear to God, like living in them, especially because we're talking about a 6 square units. We did around the beach areas and we started off with filthy old houses. Yeah. My days of renoing, darling, are long gone. Are you still doing it?
Well, I could do a reno, but I ain't getting my hands dirty or nothing. I just get
So you're pointing the finger back to the military days, right? Ticking off who's turned up.
Delegation, baby. That's it. Who's on parade? You know, where's the chippy? Where's the Tyler? Come on, let's get it done. That's just a much simpler way of doing it as well.
Delegate and delete, my two favorite words.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's one hell of a story where you get caught in a crossfire and you really kind of got no control of it. I've heard plenty of stories on this podcast of people being really, really successful and riding that roller coaster, but not being right in their head and losing the lot. And they always reflect upon something like that. And they're like, well, you know, I'm totally responsible for that, you know, easy come, easy go type thing. But when something like that happens to you and it's of no control of your own and it's not of your doing whatsoever at all, that's a completely different kettle of fish, right?
Oh, you know, I'd have to agree with you, but here's the thing, and you would understand this being a man of personal development. When people don't have the personal empowerment, the personal development, where you've got that control of your perceptions, which are your thoughts, that's when things go south. These are the things that cause depression and anxiety, and sometimes a lot of people can't come back from that. And to be honest with you, I've worked more on my mindset, my personal empowerment, than any job or business in my whole life. I literally do 3 to 4, 5 hours a day on it because this is my life now, obviously. But even when it wasn't, even when I was a personal trainer, I've had video stores. Oh my God, I've had too many businesses to talk about. But I was still tapped in. And I know, Rob, that without the personal development, without my mentors, there is no way I would have chosen that pathway. I probably would have retreated, you know, lived, blamed everybody else, and made myself sick with worry, made myself sick with fear, because that was hard to come back from.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah.
And to get on a plane and have this smile on your face. We actually shared the story on stage, and I think it, you know, I feel that people took hope from that and took strength from that and realized that, you know, we can come back from anything when we work on our mindset and we can control our own thoughts and our emotions.
One thing I learned about
like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. One thing I learned from the infantry, and it's same, but different, right, is if you share that story that you just shared with someone else might say to you, oh my God, that's nothing. You should have seen, I lost $30 million on a deal like this, right? And, yes. And it, that doesn't take anything away from the relativity of your story and what you've got. But it, as a grunt, you would be humping along with a pack and a gun, and you'd be in like enemy territory with someone trying to shoot you or something. And you look over it, you just be like, this sucks. This like sucks more than you could. This is the thing that sucks the most in human history right now. It's the worst ever. And then you look over at your mate and he seems to be doing it a little bit tougher than you. And it's like, well, it doesn't suck as bad for me as it does for him.
Exactly.
It's always relative, right? And I don't mean that in a bad way at all.
I love what you just said. You know, my dad, who said to me once along my journey, he said, always stay humble. Mm. He said, there's always some bastard out there far richer than you, had it far worse than you, so just stay humble. And I've never forgotten it.
Yeah, and it's hard. It's hard to kind of articulate that when things are going wrong for you and things are bad for you. It's like, well, someone else is doing it worse. Well, I don't care about anybody else. This sucks for me right now. And what am I going to do? I'm going to dig deep. I've got to kind of hold the line and keep moving forward. One of the things that I learned about myself, and again, it's something that I took away from being a grunt, because those skills that you learn as an infantry soldier don't transfer into the civilian world very well, because of what it is that you're taught to do. But one of the role of the infantry and the language that they use when they teach you that is one of the points in the role of the infantry is to seize and hold ground. And I've always used that analogy to to seize and hold the ground, to repel attack. That has held really true for me in business, where I can kind of spot an opportunity and I'm going to go and get that. I'm going to go and seize that, and I'm going to hold that. I'm going to hold my position, and I'm going to dig in there. And there's no way that you're going to get me out of there, because I'm embedded into that position. And if somebody's coming for me, I've got a defensive position where I can repel attack. And it doesn't matter whether it's raining, it's sunny, there's a cyclone, it's snowing, whatever, regardless of season, weather, or terrain. And so the role of the infantry and that full description that we have and that we kind of have to memorize as grunts really holds true a lot in business. And I like those analogies. And I love what your old man said as well. Stay humble. It's always someone richer, faster.
I love what you just said. You know, seize
and hold the ground.
Season, hold the ground. I love that. I'll share a very, very quick story, if I may. Another time where we have to choose which pathway. I remember the 2011 Brisbane floods. You remember them?
Yeah.
We had an online business. I manufacture and import products, sell them on eBay. We had a big eBay education company, but I still had an eBay business as well. And when the floods came, we were on the Gold Coast, we're watching the news, and it was awful, as you know. Yeah, really. Businesses, homes, lives lost. Terrible, terrible. In the meantime, my business is still running, still selling inventory all over Australia. Then I start to get these negative feedback and these abusive phone calls going, where's my gym equipment? My fitness bike hasn't turned up. And I'm going, we shipped it a week ago.
Yeah, it should have been.
No clue. All of my inventory was right in the pathway of the Brisbane floods.
Oh my gosh.
But we didn't know. They didn't contact us because they'd kind of been wiped out.
Oh.
And we were selling products that we didn't have to ship. And so it was a mess. To cut a long story short, by the time we got up there and they opened the roads, 5-year business. That was my baby, Rob. I loved it so much. And this is what we talk, we're educators, right? Mm. It was completely gone. 5 years wiped out overnight. No insurance, no stock left. We lost over $125,000. And in that moment again, we were standing with mud up to everywhere. I mean, we had a caravan at the time, and we gave that to a family who'd lost their house. to live in.
Yeah.
It was shocking. But I had to make that decision. Again, do I seize and hold my, what is it, my space?
Seize and hold the ground.
Seize and hold my ground and go, I'm not quitting. I'm going to show my students that you've got to seize and hold the ground and keep going forward, not retreat. And I believe we get these lessons as mentors, you yourself as well.
Yeah.
Because people are watching us and in our leadership roles and going, well, what would you do in a time like this? And that always stays on my mind.
Yeah.
Like being a general in the army, right? What, you know, you can't just run away when the enemy is coming towards you. Am I saying that right? Not that I've ever been in the army.
No, you're quite right. You're quite right. Sometimes you end up in a situation where you're like, I can't believe we're in this situation. How did we get here?
Yes.
There's nothing you can do about it. And what you do is you kind of remember your training. You remember stuff that happened. I had a parachute malfunction, and I had a high speed parachute malfunction. I got on the ground and I landed normally, right? Everything's, well, obviously I'm still here.
In one piece.
And my mate landed next to me and he looked at me and he's like, man, wow, oh my God. And I was like, what? And he goes, you just had a mal. And I was like, ah. And I honestly, at the time, I can remember it now because I've had time to reflect on it. But at the time I was like, what? Did I? And it's just something went wrong at 290 kilometers an hour as you're screaming towards the ground. And whatever went wrong, I dealt with it because of my training. And you've done it so many times, you've been drilled so many times, and you lean on your training to solve that problem and to make that right and to fix that, which is a really good place to be. Unfortunately, as a civilian, you don't really get that type of training. Mm-mm. So it's easy to kind of be an armchair critic. And when something's going wrong for somebody else, it's easy for you to go, well, you should do it like this. You should approach it like that or tackle the problem like this. But the reality is, when it's happening to you, are you going to take your own advice? Are you going to do those things? And that's when it's really hard to dig in and hold that line for yourself.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I have such respect for that because That to me sounds worse than what I've gone through. I can't imagine. You never get me jumping out of a plane. No way.
Come on, I've got to come up to the Goldie and take you out there. Come on, that'll be fun.
Oh, no, I'd rather have a champagne with you or something. Thanks.
Amanda, before we move off this goal-in topic, if somebody's listening to this, if there's ladies and gentlemen out there that are hearing your story and going, oh, well, that's all right for you. You know, you're in a good spot now and life's good for you now and whatnot. It hasn't always been that way. If someone's listening to this and they're on the precipice of committing and going all in, but they don't know what's on the other side, they're about to take that metaphoric leap into the abyss, what would you say to them to give them a little kind of hip and shoulder across the edge?
I would say pretty much what you say, seize and hold the ground. Like, just ask yourself silently, what's the worst thing that can happen? You know, will I go to the end of my days wondering what could have been, or do I take that first step in the direction of what my heart dreams of? And which would you rather live? When you go to the end of your days, I think the biggest regret for people is that they didn't have the courage to live their dream. And I don't want to be that person, and I don't want you or anyone listening to this to be that person, because someone has always walked before you. Someone's always taken that step. And if you don't feel that you can take it by yourself, reach out. Invest in the right mentor who can hold you by the hand and gracefully walk with you. That's what I would say.
Yeah, that's beautiful, beautiful feedback. I can, if you would allow me to share and maybe indulge me on my own podcast here, something that happened to me recently, and I haven't shared this with the audience yet, but I did share that I had an accident recently. I was out the front here at the beach at Cronulla, and I've been out spearfishing for about 3 hours, got some really nice dinner, getting out. And it was getting dark. It was right on sunset. So it's time to get out of the water, right?
Of course.
I got out of the water. And as I got out, I picked up all my gear. I packed everything up. I cleaned the fish. And I was looking forward to a delicious dinner, as you do.
Right.
Straight out of the fresh fish locker, right? And the beach that I got out of had been completely washed away. So we'd had some really rough weather over the winter. So there was no sand on the beach at all. It was all rocks. Mm-hmm. And So I kind of stood up on the rocks. I put my hands like where my kind of waist would be, and I stood up. And as I stood up, I think this is what happened. I can't remember exactly, but I slipped. And as I slipped, I fell about a meter and a half, and I fell squarely onto my left side, onto my ribs. And it was dark, and I was in a camouflaged wetsuit because that's what I own, which looks black in the night. And I'm lying there, and I kind of like, I had a collapsed lung, couldn't breathe, and like busted ribs. And I'm lying there just like, and you know, you say you don't want to get to the end of your days and have those regrets. I was lying there thinking, this is just bullshit. There's no way that this is how it ends. And I was lying there for about half an hour, like, and I couldn't get up.
Painful.
Yeah. And I had like badly injured ribs, and I couldn't breathe. And I tried to stand up a couple of times, and I fell back down. And I thought, if I fall down again, and I like looked at the rocks, and it looked like an insurmountable task, even though it's like 100 meters, but trying to climb over those slippery rocks with this injury. And I was just lying there, and I thought, there's no way that my life is going to end here like this. This is just like so ripped off if this is how it ends. It can't end like this. No way. But it's really interesting that you say you don't want to get to the end of your life and go, oh, I wish I'd done that. Because I was lying there and it wasn't the end of my life. It could have been, but it wasn't. And I wasn't thinking that. I was more pissed that that's how it was going to end. No way.
Exactly. It's not exactly the sexiest way to die, is it? And I don't think you're going to die. I'm thinking, what happened to the fish?
Someone came and rescued me, and I said, there's your dinner. And he was like so happy.
Oh, see, I love that. I think I'd be a little bit like that as well and just go, you know what, this is not how it ends for me. Thank you very much. Again, you've obviously got a very strong mindset coming back from your past and your training in the military. But for the everyday person, this is, and I think you might agree with this, this is why it's so imperative to work on your mindset, to control your emotions and our thoughts, because something like that can take one person out, someone with a strong mindset and go, you know what, and a strong will, going, I don't think so. I've got a podcast to do next week.
I was like, and when the Ambos finally came to rescue me, this like woman comes down. She's about 5'3", and she's, I'm like, can you give me something for the pain? And she gives me some morphine and that. And I'm like, you and him are not going to be able to lift my heavy 95 kilo ass out of here. And then like these big burly fireys turn up and these big burly police rescue guys turn up and rescued me. And it was like, oh, thank God.
Oh, but you're okay now. How's your ribs?
They're pretty sore now. Yeah. It's been 7 weeks, today actually.
And they're still really sore?
Yeah, they're really sore, but my lungs better. That was the worst bit. You can handle kind of a little bit of pain with a broken bone, but when you can't breathe, that's really bad. So,
and it can be, I imagine it would be quite frightening when you can't breathe properly. But again, goes back to being strong mentally and emotionally and physically. And when that comes into a business, I think they just go hand in hand. I wouldn't want to be in business all life feeling weak physically, mentally and emotionally, because these are the times that really test you, don't they?
They are. And to your point, you know, of not having any regrets, and I don't think I was ever going to die there. There was no chance of that happening, but I definitely didn't have any regrets, which is a good thing to know. But whatever you do, if you're listening to this or watching this, don't go and fall down and try and work out if you're going to have some regrets. Just live your life like you're not going to have any.
Exactly. So you basically asked yourself in that moment, do I have any regrets?
Well, no, I never asked myself that, but I was like lying there thinking, this is not how it ends. This is bullshit. I remember saying to myself that several times and like, what am I going to do? And there was a time that, because I was right on the water's edge and the tide was coming in, it was lapping up at my ass. And I thought to myself, I don't have my weight belt on. Maybe the easiest thing to do would be just to kind of let myself float out there, because then at least someone from the footpath could see me and I could kind of wave at them, you know, hey, come and help me sort of thing. Then I'm like, well, somebody's going to come and have to come in the water and rescue me then, and they're risking themselves. It's going to be dark. You're not going to see me in a camouflage wetsuit on the water 100 meters away.
It doesn't sound like a good idea to me, Rob. And if there was any blood, that's exactly what you don't want to do, is float back out into the water. No way.
Shark schmark, whatever. See sharks all the time instead of
but pool. It's interesting, you know, ask if you ever get to that moment, you say, do I have any regrets? You want to say no with certainty.
Yeah, with absolute certainty, for sure.
Yeah.
right. Thank you so much for sharing that, Amanda. That's a little bit of fun, and that's a hell of a story there you've got as well. And it sounds like you've been banged up in business a couple of times and in life, which is good to know, because that's what happens to everybody. And it's a timely reminder that you don't, what you're seeing from the outside looks really successful, but you know, it was a grind and it was a hell of a journey to get there. But I want to move off that topic and talk to you about female empowerment, which I think is a really, really important topic, something near and dear to my heart with a 14-year-old daughter, or 13, 11 months and 2 weeks old daughter.
Or 13 going on 30.
Yeah. She's kind of, you know what? She's kind of like that when she's not with me, but when she's with me, she's still daddy's girl, which is really nice. I've worked hard to maintain that, because I felt that slipping away a little bit, but I've kept her close to me. And all I really do is I just do activities with her. We go out and we do things together, and she's kind of forced to sit in the car with me by herself in the front. And I kind of just take a phone out of her hand. I'm like, talk. And then
I love that.
At first, she's like cranky, you know, folds her arms and whatnot.
I love that. I'm pretend she doesn't want to talk. My dad was present our whole life too, through sport activities, and we're very, very close to him. I think it's lovely to see.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to ask you why you think, and what your views are around financial independence for women, because statistically, the numbers are bad. You know, statistically, women retire from the workforce with considerably less superannuation and preparation for their retirement than what men do. And that's got to do with them having children, being out of the workforce, not paying into their super, and all of those sorts of things. And not that super is a retirement plan. It's a diversion of a retirement plan if you're an employee, for sure. But statistically, women earn less money than men. Statistically, financially, women are less independent than what men are. And I'd just love to hear your views around that, because your podcast and your magazine and what you do is all about that. And I think that's such an important topic that not enough people are talking about.
You're right. Not enough people are talking about it, especially women, or a woman in a women's space. They'll talk about anything except money. I'd rather talk about sex. I've heard in another podcast talk about women would rather talk about sex than money. But here's the thing, and when I was interviewing the lovely Kim Kiyosaki, she said, finding a partner in life is not a financial plan. And I was, right from a child, I've always had my parents said, you know, earn your own money, look after yourself in that way. But the thing is, so many women just don't feel worthy. They don't have the education around money. They have probably what I call stinking thinking. We're not taught to think about our money at school or how to grow our money. And I just have this deep desire, you know, I think about your daughter, that when she grows up, that if she understands money, understands the way her mind thinks, and she has control over her destiny, then she's going to have a far greater life, far more choice, far more freedom, far more certainty about who she is as a woman. And even though I'm married, I've been married for 22 years, but I still love that feeling of being financially independent in a way of knowing how to make money. Because most people have a desire to have financial independence, but that comes from creating and growing a business serving other people.
Yeah.
Because where else is it going to come from? Mm-hmm. And so I love to talk about it. I love to teach women and open up their minds and, I guess, share in my own way that money's not evil. Money's just an energy, and it's how we think about it, how we perceive it, will govern whether we have it in the end or not. Because people always say money doesn't make you happy. I can't say I agree with that, Rob.
The only people that say that are the people that don't have it.
Correct.
Or that are envious of it.
Correct. Because I put it up there with oxygen. I think late Jim Rowan says that, or one of them, Zig Ziglar maybe.
Yeah.
I put it up there with oxygen. And another thing Kim Kiyosaki shared with me is that when people say money is not important, she says, well, quit your job. And then what she says is that, but money impacts everything that is important to you. And I couldn't agree more, because it does.
Yeah.
Money for me is incredibly important in the way that I get choice, I get to do philanthropic work, I get to live my life how I want, but it gives me the freedom to do what I do now.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I still, you know, I still work, but I still, you know, I don't even call it work. I love what I get to do. But I just, you know, I'm just all about helping women change their mindset and taking that responsibility.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got a client at the moment who's a woman, and I won't say her name just to protect her privacy, but she's in this massively chaotic place in her business. But that's what she says. And I look at it and I go, it's not chaos. What you've got is a validated business model. So in some ways, what she had done is she had started a business without building any infrastructure around it and just started it because she was really passionate about it. And she had a couple of little wins and she's riding the roller coaster, right? Ups and downs, eat what you kill type sales mentality. And ultimately she started to get a little bit of consistency. So she started to validate everything that's actually working. So now I know how to sell the products and services that's working. I'm able to attract clients consistently and I'm able to actually make some pretty decent money. But then she's sort of like, oh my God, the infrastructure of the business is a mess. My website's not right. And my marketing, my PR, it's all over the place, right? And it is. But she's done it in the right order because she hasn't spent any money or time building infrastructure that might not be supportive of anything that's going on. And it's like, you know what? I could fix all of that stuff for you in like a couple of days, maybe a few weeks at most, and it'll be solved and all of those things will be solved. But it's really awesome to see her have this extreme reaction of relief. Like, oh my God, she even cried. And I'm like, my clients don't cry at me, but she was crying at me, right? And she's crying because she's so relieved that somebody is there to help her, because then she's able to focus on what it is that she's good at. And I could just see how, that was such a powerful transformation for her. And she's by herself as well. She's a solopreneur, a single mom. She doesn't have a partner. So it's a very, very isolating thing that she's going through. And it seems like almost too much to handle. But as soon as somebody steps in to give her a little bit of help, and what she's worried about is not really a problem to anybody else, you can just see the relief in her. And as a result of just a couple of conversations, I've seen her go, bang, another sale, another sale, another sale, another sale. And I'm like, see, you've got a validated business model. Let's just build the infrastructure around it now. You haven't spent any time, money, or effort on any of that because you didn't have the money to do that at the start and you didn't know how to do it. Now you've got the money. Now you've got someone who knows how to do it. Let's get it done for you. And it's just such a, it's a great story in business, and it's a great story for her. But the thing that I'm taking away from it as working with her as a coach and as a vendor and helping her to get across the line is just watching her growth as a woman. And you know, this is not a gender thing. If it was a guy, the same thing would be happening, but it's just a little bit more personal for me because I've got a daughter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I would hope that if my daughter found herself in that place in her life, that she would get the same sort of help, because such an empowering thing to get there and such an important, important thing. But it left me with a question, and I wanted to ask you this question. And the reason I'm sharing that kind of little story with you is, why do you think it is that people, or women particularly, don't put their hand up and ask for help?
Again, because we're taught to multitask and wear this mask of, I can do it all, I'm a super mom, and it's hard, you know. It comes back to, again, thinking, I'm just going to take a step back. We're talking about money. We all have a money blueprint, and that obviously comes from childhood. And so from all of my businesses and things like that, it doesn't matter how much money you end up making in any business. Mm. If your blueprint is a mess, or your money mindset is a mess, the money will flow out the door. It'll just go, because you don't have that self-worth, or you don't have that understanding. You don't have that value on money, because money flows from those who value it the least to those who value it the most. And so it still takes a mindset switch, no matter how many people are helping you. I know people who have made millions and the money just goes and they have no idea where it goes to, but that comes back to money. money mindset. So that's where, and it starts with awareness, Rob. That's my first thing. And then when it comes to women asking for help, we feel that we should know it all. We don't feel, I think it comes down to confidence. I would really honestly say confidence and feeling like we're going to get looked down on, or you should know that, or you're not good enough. You know, how many of us grew up not feeling good enough, not feeling bright enough, not feeling, pretty enough, tall enough? Like, and these are the things that women go through, a little different than guys. I get it, because I'm a woman. Yeah. And then we have this thing on our shoulders, like, you should be at home, you should have the kids, you got to do this, you got to do that. Then when we're starting a business, we go, oh, my God, there are so many different hats to wear in a business. But I love a woman who can reach out to somebody like you and say, look, I just need some help. I've surrounded myself in Millionaires with some of the smartest people in their field, in their superpower, as I say, because I don't like hierarchy in business. I like a pie, having the superpowers, which then allows me to focus on my superpower. But again, you've got to put your hand up and feel that worthiness. And this is where most women get it wrong. As little girls back in the day, we're taught to, you know, fight for what we want, you know, and I guess it goes back to the caveman days. Mm. You know, you want the strongest person, the strongest man to take care of you, and you got to go and get that strongest man, and it felt like so much competition. That's still ingrained in so many of us. But it doesn't have to be that way, because I know there are so many women, and I get to have conversations with them inside Millionaires magazine, that really, truly and heartfully want to elevate other women and help raise their self-worth, then their net worth, then their life worth. Because money comes through self-worth.
Absolutely. And I would add a little thing there as you were saying that. I think maybe the one thing that my client here was kind of worried about was having the confidence to speak up about things that she was maybe a little bit embarrassed about.
Of course.
Because I'm in business and I'm supposed to know how to do it. No.
How do you know all this?
Oh, you don't know. How can you know all that? That's why you have suppliers and vendors that help you to bridge the gap, you know, from what you don't know to what it is that you do need to know. And I can remember just a couple of weeks ago, she was asking me some questions about websites and, you know, marketing and all those sorts of things. And I've been doing that for such a long time. That's like just really offhanded to me. And her comment was, oh my God, you know so much about all of this. And oh, thank God that you're helping me and doing all this. It's like, well, I'm not an expert in what you do. I wouldn't expect you to be an expert in what I do. What you've got to do is have the confidence to speak up and don't be embarrassed about it. There's nothing to be embarrassed about it. And you learn from the mistakes that you make. And what you do is just don't make the same errors. Just get somebody to solve the problems and move forward.
Well, what I love to teach, very similar to you, I said to you a little while ago, a couple of my favorite words, delegate and delete.
Yeah, I love it.
Focus on your superpowers. And then delegate out to other superheroes what their superpower is. Yeah. And this is where women go wrong. They try and do everything themselves and they send themselves crazy. When I have this real thing about, I say to all my team, which are incredible, they look after me incredibly, we look after each other. You just focus on what you do, Amanda. Let me worry about that. But you've got to have this trust. And this is another thing that women have to really work at. We don't trust other people. We say, I'll just do it myself because then I'll just know it'll get done properly. Yep. It's taken me years to let go of all that BS and delete out of your life. Most people don't even know how to prioritize their day. Their day takes them instead of them taking the day. Mm. I like to have control over my time and my day so that I can focus on what I need to do in my business, in my life, and get my team around me to help me. Exactly what you're saying. Delegate and delete. You cannot be the best at everything.
Yeah.
Why would you want to?
Yeah, why would you want to? That's exactly what I was going to say. You wouldn't want to do that. Yeah.
No.
All All right, I'm really enjoying this conversation with you, but I'm kind of looking at the background, and the people listening to this as a podcast can't see it, but there's some really cool things there behind you, and maybe you can describe that for the audio version of this podcast that looks like Millionaires magazine covers there. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, you can see Millionaires magazine covers behind me. And it's a magazine that we have, millionairesmagazine.com, which obviously I would love to gift to all of your listeners. It is a magazine for entrepreneurial women where I have the privilege, and I just love what I get to do, conversations with global leaders from all walks of life, all different business backgrounds, life backgrounds, that come together and we share our stories to elevate other women on self-worth, net worth, and life worth. And it's all video. It's video inside the magazine. Mm-hmm. There's editorial. And it's just everyday women sharing their story and sharing their wisdom. And it's just, you know, I love it. And our outcome is to impact 100 million women's lives over the next 100 years. And when you talk about your daughter, these are the women, we call that the butterfly effect. I want us women now, and I think we have this global stage happening, Rob, and with guys like you helping us, because I love working with guys, I think we can work really well together, that we now have a global stage. We can be anywhere in the world sharing the wisdom with women like your daughter. That's, you know, really something that drives me and gets my heart singing, because I don't want them to go through the struggles that we went through.
Yeah.
And that's why we started the Millionaires movement. To elevate other women. I think it's time to shine the light instead of pull each other down.
Look, I think there's nothing wrong with a bit of character building and a bit of resilience building, but gosh, if you can avoid it at all costs, I say.
Yeah, well, they're going to go through their own pain barriers, but
anyway,
why not help them and show them the pathway? It's no different than having a mentor who's walked the mile before you. That's not going to be avoidable. But because I think we all learn from our own experience, not just somebody else's words. But I have found now, I don't know how you feel about it, Rob, but people are just going, you know, what's going on in the global economy now has many blessings, mm-hmm. because it's really brought us to a global stage, and you can be anywhere impacting lives as you and I are today.
Yeah, absolutely agree with that. And on that note, you've also got a podcast. Tell us a little bit about that.
We have got a podcast. And again, it's a little bit like you, your podcast. It was called G'day Gorgeous. Now it's Millionaires Mentor. And this is a podcast where you get to hear these wonderful stories and all the wisdom with other global leaders that really want to help you in your business and in your life as a woman to a woman. And I just have very real, raw, relatable conversations like you, Rob. I just say it as it is. And this is life. This is business. Here are our struggles. But then here's how we've overcome our struggles. Mm-hmm. They're just inspirational stories. And that's why when you said, is anything off limits? I went, nah, away, because there isn't anything that I haven't gone through that probably most entrepreneurial women aren't going to go through. And I'm just here to say, keep going, girlfriend, you will get there.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Is there a standout person that you've interviewed in your magazine or on a podcast that kind of comes to mind for you that you think, oh my God, that's amazing?
There are so many inspirational women, so many. And the Millionaires magazine is only up to issue 4. However, we're already booked out into next year. So we've got massive growth happening and massive interest. But there's so many women that have had an impact on my life. I can't say one in particular. I just love any woman that puts her hand up and gifts her time. And these women are busy. They have TV shows. They run mega multi-million-dollar companies like Sharon Lecter, and we've got Kim Kiyosaki and Gloria Mayfield Banks, and we've got Captain Sandy Yawn from Below Deck Mediterranean. All these incredible women. I just love them all, and I really appreciate that times are changing. I believe they are, and they can, and they will.
Yeah, absolutely. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to this podcast on your phone, just take a little peek at the show notes, and the links to Amanda's podcast and a magazine are going to be right there for you, so you don't have to go digging around in Google, and just scroll on down in YouTube, and that's right there in the show notes for you as well. Tell me a little bit about how you help clients, Amanda.
We have the magazine, which I would love to give to everyone. So it's millionairesmagazine.com, which also comes with the download of my book that I wrote recently, From Frustrated to Fabulous, which is an inspirational guide for women who dare to live their dreams, written from my heart to your heart for every woman. And lots of guys have listened to it. Although I will warn you, darling, it is me narrating the story, so you've got to put up with me for 7 hours.
That's okay. That's all good.
But, you know, my whole education now is elevating self-worth, net worth, life worth, but helping women become a millionaireess from the inside out. If you want money in the bank, you want to become financially independent, live the life you dream of, do your philanthropic work, then it starts inside and it comes out on the outer. You know, growing a business, holding on to your money, then investing your money so that in time your money works for you so that you're not a slave to your money for the rest of your life. That's what I love to teach these days, Rob.
I love it. I love it. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to connect with Amanda, just have a little peek at your phone and the links are right there for you.
Thank you.
Well, as we're bumping up against an hour here on the podcast, this has been an absolute blast and you've been so unbelievably giving. I really appreciate that. So thank you so much for that. But I can't let you leave the Go All In show without putting you in the Go All In podcasters hot seat. It's a little bit of fun to close it out here. Up there in the beautiful sunny Queensland, you're in a beautiful part of the world. One of the things that I love to do pre-COVID, before this COVID rubbish stopped us traveling everywhere, was to travel. Is there somewhere in sunny Queensland that should be on my bucket list that I might not know about?
Oh, well, I don't know if you don't know about it, but I do love the Whit Sundays. If you can get up there and get out on a boat, that is different in whale season. That is definitely a bucket list to do.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a beautiful thing. I've been lucky enough to spend lots of time in the Whit Sundays and to do that. And it's everything that the screenshots, screensavers and images and videos lead you to believe. There's lots of YouTubers that I follow in the spearfishing space up in the Whit Sundays driving around in their boats and they live up in that part of the world. And I'm just like, oh my God, maybe I've got to leave Sydney and go and live up there, that lifestyle.
There's plenty of room for you. We've done a lot of boating ourselves up at the Whit Sundays and my husband gets the drone up and gets plenty of whale footage. Yeah, I think some's been used in a film actually.
Oh, wow.
And it is as close to nature as you can get and I tell you what, it changes the way you think and feel about life. So that is a definite number one bucket list. Come up anytime, Rob.
Is there a secret spot in the Whit Sundays that you guys like to go to? Is there like, because there's lots of little dotted deserted islands around all of those places that you can kind of just park up at, right?
Any and every one of them are as beautiful as the next. So just anywhere. Like I don't want to say one is better than the other. There is just so much beauty You just never get sick of it. We've spent a bit of time up there and just love it. It's just so special. And yeah, it's crystal white, powdery sand and crystal blue ocean and you can see the dolphins and the whales. Oh, my goodness. And I don't know about spearfishing, but I like to look at the pretty fish.
I only spearfish to eat my dinner. That's it. Not for sport.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah. It's only for that. It can be a bit controversial if you're going out there looking for a trophy. That's not something
I think so.
No, that's not for me at all. All right. What's a skill that you're working on at the moment, Amanda, that you haven't quite mastered?
Oh, that's a good one. A skill that I am working on. Patience.
Come on, ask the questions faster, Rob. that's a good one. I like it a lot. Hey, what's the best piece of business advice that you've ever received?
From Jim Rowan, when I was an angry young woman blaming everybody on the outside instead of looking inside, that, you know, for things to change first, I must change.
I love it. Really, really good. And once again, if people want to connect with you, what's the best way to do that? Is that via the website or LinkedIn? What's the best way?
Oh, millionairesmagazine.com is by far the best way.
Okay. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, just take a little peek at your phone and all of the links are right there in the show notes. And same in YouTube, just scroll on down and they're right there for you. Amanda, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you here on the Goal In podcast. It's been a hell of a lot of fun. Thank you for being so giving and sharing your knowledge, your wisdom, and your value. I wanted to give you the opportunity for the parting comment, for the final piece of wisdom from Amanda Jane Clarkson. What have you got for us today?
My parting piece of wisdom based on my own journey is, again, I'll just say it, believe in yourself and just keep stepping forward. Someone's always walked the path before you, and invest in yourself and take somebody by the hand who's walked the path before you, and just know that you can live and have the life that you dream of and the life that you deserve.
I love it. What a beautiful sentiment and a great way to close out the show. Thanks again for coming on. We look forward to speaking with you soon. It's bye for now.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you for sharing the time with me. Bye for now.
Well, there you have it, folks. If you want to connect with Amanda, just take a little peek at your phone, and all of the links to her website and socials are right there. And you can also reach out to Amanda via LinkedIn, and that link's right there as well. So you're not going to have to go digging around in Google for any of those. Now, as you know, the world is changing at a faster pace and in a direction that none of us could ever have anticipated. The way that we work, the way that we earn income, and the way that we communicate has changed and is changing, and it's not going to go back to what it was anytime soon. And my question to you is, are you keeping up with these changes, or are you being left behind? Now, if you're just starting out in business, considering business, or you've been a seasoned entrepreneur for years, then I've created a masterclass that will help you get to the next level in your life. I give you the strategies and the tactics to get you moving, to gather momentum, and to break through. So if you'd like to find out some more about mastering your mind and going all in, hop on over to goallin.com.au and click on the tab that says Masterclass. Now, if you've got a message or some feedback for the show, you can reach out to me via the Go All In socials, or you can send me an email at any time. Just visit goallin.com.au and click on the contact tab, and you can send me an email right through the website there. Well, that wraps it up for the show today. So whatever it is that you're working on, whatever you're doing, get busy, get to it, and go all in. I'll see you next time. Where do I begin? I see the hate, they don't want to see me win. Bank deposits, I got more coming in. Top down, throw the money in the wind. I don't want it all. Heard he scammer had to switch up the accounts. Moving paper, gotta call up my account. It's all in, I can have it coming out. Been through the struggle, I can see another drought. Yeah, it's not a purse, it's a merch. Six figures, what's a goal? Now it's nine or a hearse. Put it work. Used to pull up, not swerve. No time for the snakes. Time to put them in the dirt. That's word. I gotta get it. It's in my DNA. You only see the highlights. Don't know what it takes. Last year, stressing, got no sleep. Now I'm right between the courts. I don't know what leads. I see the hate. They don't wanna see me win. Bank deposits. I got more coming in. Top down. Throw the money in the wind. I don't want it all. Heard these scammer had to switch up the accounts. Moving paper. Gotta call up my account. All in, I can have it coming out. Been through the struggle, I can see another drought. Yeah, same circle, still the same gang. We just get to it, we don't gang bang. Lost some friends, said the same thing. Keep a low pro when we maintain. Find us in a loss and we're kicking back. Find you on computers, type in Twitter facts. You lose a follow, throw a Twitter at. I lose a dollar, bet I get it back. Like a boomerang. My girl likes diamonds, big one shining on a ring ring. I got three daughters, you could bet that they gon' get the same. But they got morals, I'll be damned if they sell up for change. They won't sell out a thing. I lose it all, you bet I get it back by any means. I trust in God, won't be a dollar that can make me change. I got that power. I could get anything. I got that power. I could get
where
anything.
Where do I begin? I see the hate. They don't wanna see me win. Bank deposits. I got more coming in. Top down. Throw the money in the wind. I don't want it all. Heard these scammer had to switch up the accounts. Moving paper. Gotta call up my account. It's all in. I can have it coming out. Been through the struggle. I can see another drought.